The night may be long and the dark may be deep, but the answers are there to be found. Whether it's the normal, the abnormal, or the paranormal, you're in the right place. Let's go beyond reality.
So what do you do in a world where an upstart company that's been around, I don't know, let's say 10 years, maybe it's longer than that, maybe it's a few years shorter than, I'm not exactly sure, I don't know. But an upstart company becomes more valuable than any other media company in the world, including Disney, which owns some of the most amazing film properties ever created. They own amazing theme parks that are very, very profitable. Yet you have a company, Netflix, that is now worth more than any of those companies, any of the networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, that are owned by whomever. Netflix is now the most valuable media company in the world.
Are you serious? What's their value?
The market cap today just went up to, let's see, $161 billion. That's an 82% increase in value this year. This year, wow. May 20th, we're not even 6 months into it.
And I think it's funny, just a couple of years ago, people were like, Netflix will never survive.
Well, I mean, you know, anytime you get media, not necessarily media companies, but internet technology companies exploding like that, you start worrying about a bubble situation. And, you know, we've seen those crashes come and go. I don't know if, you know, I don't know the basics and the valuations behind this, but the fact that Disney is only worth $152 billion and you've got Netflix at $161 billion, I mean, that's a pretty striking thing. What does Netflix own? I mean, they do have some original programming, of course. They've been doing that the last few years.
Yeah.
But basically, they just buy the rights to play other people's stuff on a streaming service. It's pretty incredible.
Pretty smart.
It is pretty incredible, yeah. I don't know why I felt like that was important to open the show up. You and I were talking about Netflix before we went on the air, and I just thought of that. I'm like, wow, this is something that's pretty cool. And we've seen things like that. We've seen companies like even Facebook, you know, yeah, more valuable than, and I know this is probably not the right comparison to make anymore, but at one point it was, than General Motors or more valuable than Citibank.
And the scary thing is it's all on paper, too.
Yeah,
it's all value.
It is unbelievable. It's unbelievable stuff. Welcome to the show, everybody. This is not finance talk tonight, I promise. It's just, it shocks me and it surprises me.
Well, welcome to Beyond Reality Radio, everybody. If you haven't yet, head over to facebook.com/Beyond Reality Radio, like the Facebook page for us. Then head to beyondrealityradio.com, where you can find all the stations we are on across the country. And that list is ever growing, getting bigger and bigger. So check it often. You can also download the free iPhone and Android app right there, which allows you to listen live, catch past shows, join the online chat more. Or you can listen right from the website. Just click the pop-up button in the upper right-hand corner of the website and listen right online from sitting in front of your computer.
You know, I'm sorry, I'm not going to drop this Netflix thing yet. I'm very sorry, but I'm reading our chat room, and they were talking about the days when Netflix was a company that used to mail you DVDs.
Yes.
That's how they started. It was just a rent-by-mail company, and they
there was
discovered
another one, though, too, wasn't there? There was another company as well?
Probably, and I know Blockbuster had a version of that, and then there's Redbox now where you can go whatever. But Netflix at one point recognized very early on the value of streaming. And I guess one of my concerns, and we open the phone lines up right now in case somebody wants to weigh in on this. I'm seeing a lot of people say, I love Netflix. And I watch Netflix as well.
But I love Netflix.
But what do they do that someone else can't come in and just do, which is stream? I mean, the internet is public. Anybody can use it to stream stuff if they want to. You know, they do have original programming, which is actually some really good stuff there.
And they also have some weird algorithm/type of media playing system where it's able to take 4K video and play it on your TV or on your devices and not sit there and be buffering all the time as well.
Yeah, right, right. Well, that helps too, because that is one of the annoying things about streaming is if you get into that situation. I just find it fascinating. And the same thing with a social media company. Facebook is kind of the big dog in the marketplace.
I just wish there was a different one.
But,
I'm so tired of Facebook.
But what's to prevent somebody else from coming along? I mean, we saw what was the big search engine before Google came along? There was
Yahoo.
there was Yahoo, and prior to there was Alta Vista, and there was there was another one I remember using, and Netscape was the dominant browser. I mean, things change really quickly. AOL. Things change really quickly in technology. So when you see a company worth $161 billion and you've got stock in that company, you have to worry about, you know, what's something going to come along tomorrow and just knock them out? I don't know.
Well,
I don't
and
know
the crazy the thing is those companies now buy up any little company that might pose a threat at some point. So
that's the strategy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's not what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to actually talk about your brain and the fact that most of us know that everybody has a right brain and a left brain, and one of those sides is responsible for your creative part of your personality. The other part is responsible for your logical part of your personality. There's also some gender relationships between the right brain and the left brain. But our guest tonight, James Olson, has written a book called How Whole Brain Thinking Can Save the Future. And he talks about harnessing the power of both parts of your brain, making them work in concert to achieve greater things. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight.
And you can also check out his website at thewholebrainpath.com. So thewholebrainpath.com. It's going to be a great week of shows, so make sure you tune in. All right, so let's take a break and let's start talking about whole brain thinking. All right, you're listening to Jason and JV on Beyond Reality Radio. We'll be back after this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to Beyond Reality Paranormal. I'm your host, JV Johnson. I'm going to ask that you support this program. The easiest way to do that, by the way, is if you're listening as a podcast, you just open up the description of the episode and you scroll down to the bottom. And at the bottom, there is a link that says support this podcast. If you click on that, you'll be taken to a page that gives you a couple of options for supporting the show. We greatly appreciate it. It helps us bring great programs to you every week, and we look forward to continuing to do that. And if you're enjoying the program on YouTube, there's another way you can support the show. Just go to the description. You'll see a link to a Patreon page. It's Johaw, J-O-H-A-W. And if you go to the Patreon page, you'll be able to pledge an amount to help support the show as well. Once again, thanks for your support. Thank you for listening. Please share it with your friends. Tonight, we're going to be talking about, well, your brain and your personality and the right side of your brain and the left side of your brain. What do they each do? Why don't they work together? What would happen if they worked together? Our guest tonight is James Olson. He's an author of a book called How Whole Brain Thinking Can Save the Future. That's a pretty ambitious claim, and we're going to find out exactly how it all works. James, welcome to the program. It's great to have you on Beyond Reality Radio.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for coming on.
So before we get started about the book specifically and the ideas in it, how did you get your start with all of this kind of stuff? I mean, this isn't something that you wake up thinking every day, but apparently you did at one point and you decided to write a book about it. How did that start for you?
Well, I had an aunt that wrote a book once, and she that kind of inspired me to write a book. And I also found that I wasn't able to convey my ideas verbally, and so I felt that I needed to write them down in order to get them out. Partly it's because there's a bit of complexity involved, and when you're standing around talking to somebody, you don't have time to get more complex ideas across. Some ideas it's just impossible to convey, so that kind of started me in writing, and I felt that I've been really blessed. I grew up in a wonderful neighborhood. I had wonderful, loving parents. I never once in my life do I ever remember my parents arguing or getting angry with each other. And so I felt really blessed to have been put in this situation. And I felt I wanted to give something back. And so I started searching for something to do. And at some point, I decided that I wanted to find the drugless high, that I like drugs, the effect, but it's obviously that there's a lot of dangers associated with drugs, and you can't do that forever. I mean, nothing in this life seems to work forever. Eventually, you get tired of it or it doesn't work. It doesn't work for you. So I set out to try to find the drugless high, and I started exploring my world, and I'd been fortunate enough to go on a junior abroad program to Europe once, and that really opened my eyes to the difference. I mean, you know, I grew up on a farm in northwest Oklahoma, you know, with these wonderful parents, and I was kind of insulated from the world. And suddenly I went to Vienna for Austria for 6 months to study. And that was just a wonderful experience. I mean, I really enjoyed that. But more than that, it opened my eyes to the world. And so, you know, with kind of this background, I set out to study various things. I just kind of let myself be led. And I've since found out that that's kind of the right way of, right brain way of doing things, the right things. The right brain attracts things to us, or we get the things we need, as opposed to things we're seeking out from through the right brain. So I started learning about. I went to a weekend workshop one weekend, in which a neuroscientist from the University of Texas mapped the brains of the participants, and he asked us a series of questions, and then he put us in a U-shape, you know, a half circle, and he put the left brain people on the left and the right brain people on the right, of course, and the more balanced people were in the center. And I'd always thought that I was probably balanced. And I, in my research, I think a lot of people think that, but it turns out that I was third from the end on the left brain side. So I'm really, and there were about, I don't know, I think there's probably about 30 participants. So I was pretty left brain for this group. And that made me, and I was writing a book at the time. But this really changed the direction of my book. I wondered, I'd always heard that the most important thing we can learn is to learn about ourselves. And I thought, well, what could be more important to learn about myself than how the brain filters the information upon which I make all of my decisions? And I wondered how I was misunderstanding the right brain people, the other people on the other side of this half circle, and wondered how they were seeing the world. And so this is kind of the genesis of this book.
I have to ask you, you said your parents didn't argue. You don't ever remember them. Are you sure they were human?
Yeah, well, I don't know. They were pretty angelic. They were just hardworking country people.
Of course, yes.
We were farmers.
Yeah. So as you kind of journeyed down this path, and after we've got just a couple minutes here before we have to go into break, and when we come back, I want to get into some of the definitions of some of the things you've already said, the terms you've already used here. But before we do that, as you were going down this path, were you surprised at how, as you started to understand right brain versus left brain versus whole brain, at how maybe the world started to change for you, your perspective on the world changed as you started to better understand the differences?
Well, absolutely. Once you understand that the two sides of the brain are really complements and that they're intended to work together, you lose your fear of the opposite side. Whether you start out as a conservative or a liberal, you come to understand that both positions are invaluable, and that there is a way that they can work together, and you no longer demonize the other side because you understand that the other side, whatever that side is, plays an important role. It keeps us kind of on the center path. It's kind of a opponent processor system in which the right brain and the left brain are each vying for supremacy in a sense, but they're also seeking this unity, and one helps the other, and they work together at the same time that they're kind of at odds with each other.
Okay,
so there's no reason to be angry. There's just some people that are born with a conservative brain. Their conservative brain is dominating their thinking, and some people are born with their right brain, their liberal brain, dominating their thinking. And it's nobody. There's no reason to be angry about that.
That's an interesting concept. When we get back from the break, like I said, we're going to get into some of the definitions here of some of the terms and phrases that our guest James Olson has already used. Don't forget to stop by his website, thewholebrainpath.com. We're talking about his book called How Whole Brain Thinking Can Save the Future.
And make sure you head over to facebook.com/beyondrealityradio and like the Facebook page for us. Then head to beyondrealityradio.com, where you can find all the stations we air on across the country. We're always constantly adding new stations. We just recently added 5 more, so check it out. Also, grab the free iPhone or Android app right there that allows you to listen live, catch past shows, join the online chat, and more. Or listen right from the website, just clicking the pop-up button in the upper right-hand corner, and listen right there from your computer. We're going to take a quick break. More to come. You're listening to Jason and JV, Beyond Reality Radio. We'll be back after this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to Beyond Reality Paranormal. I'm your host, JV Johnson. I'm going to ask that you support this program. The easiest way to do that, by the way, is if you're listening as a podcast, you just open up the description of the episode and you scroll down to the bottom. And at the bottom, there is a link that says support this podcast. If you click on that, you'll be taken to a page that gives you a couple of options for supporting the show. We greatly appreciate it. It helps us bring great programs to you every week, and we look forward to continuing to do that. And if you're enjoying the program on YouTube, there's another way you can support the show. Just go to the description. You'll see a link to a Patreon page. It's Johaw, J-O-H-A-W. And if you go to the Patreon page, you'll be able to pledge an amount to help support the show as well. Once again, thanks for your support. Thank you for listening. Please share it with your friends. You know, when you listen to this program, you hear many interesting guests who discuss many interesting topics. Most of those guests have books, movies, or other work that support their ideas. And we've made it very easy for you to find that work. Just go to amazon.com/shop/JVJTaps. Not only will you find the books and other work of our guests, but you'll help support this program at the same time. Again, it's amazon.com/shop/JVJTaps. You'll also see links in the description of this episode that you can click on. We can only scratch the surface of many of these topics, and the real knowledge is what you'll find in the pages or frames of our guests' efforts. So click the link and browse, and hey, thanks for listening. Our guest tonight is James Olson. He's an author of a book that's called Whole Brain Thinking Can Save the Future. Check out his website, thewholebrainpath.com. And James, before the break, we talked about coming back and getting some of these definitions out of the way so we all are understanding what we're talking about. So let's start with whole brain thinking by itself. What do you mean when you talk about whole brain thinking?
Well, for most of us, one side of the brain dominates. That's why you hear talk about left brain dominance or left brain people and right brain people. That's because one side of the brain totally dominates the other. That's not to say that we don't have access to the other side or that it doesn't work or anything, but it's just set up so that it kind of makes us specialists, and it reflects the way the universe is designed, kind of into the wholeness. The right brain sees the big picture, and the left brain sees the details. And there's always this relationship. One kind of looks outward, and one looks inward. The way we think reflects the way the universe is designed in a certain respect, since the brain is there to help us understand our reality, our universe. And when my interest is mostly in consciousness, I talk about the brain because the brain is where feeds consciousness. And so Roger Sperry won a Nobel Prize in 81 for finding out that the two sides of the brain are independently conscious, and they're so different, in fact, that they create a division between us.
So how is one able to tell if they're right or left brain dominant?
Well, you need to know what the characteristics are, which is what my book is for, to try to explain it. It's not really simple, not terribly simple, but I can give you a little bit of a guide here. That most men, in the stereotypical male, is left brain, and the stereotypical female is right brain. Now, not all men are left brain, and not all women are right brain, and there are mixtures. But there is this dominance, which gets back to the original question. There's this dominance in one side. Tends to take over the other, think of an aggressive male, a real angry, strong male in a family, and there's this loving wife, but the male is physically powerful and he has the money, and so he dominates her, and he can either be benevolent and they can have a wonderful loving relationship in that dominance, or if the dominance is, you know, if you don't understand yourself, you don't understand the world, and you're angry, that dominance can just drive everything. And so there's, to a certain degree, most of us have this. Now, most of us are left brain dominant or right brain dominant. But there are those that are a hybrid of the two, and there is another group of people that use both sides of the brain as a team. And I think maybe most of us think that that's what we have, but that's not what we have. Only a minority has that type of dominance, and it's set up by genetics. And there's three types of genetics that produce these four brain types: the left brain, right brain, the hybrid brain, and the team brain.
So I have to ask you, just so I understand anything, you may have just answered the question, but I was going to ask, are we born predisposed to one of those two sides being dominant, or is it something that we learn over time? And if we...
It's both. Primarily, we're genetically predisposed to either left brain, right brain dominance, or one of the other two, the combinations. And at the same time, we're living in this culture, and you could be, as many people are, a right brain dominant person, but you're living in a strongly left brain dominant culture that is dominated by males who impose their ways of seeing and doing things on culture. So that also programs you. So you have. Yeah, your brain is telling you one thing, and the brains of the culture, the collective brain that comes through in culture, is telling you something else. And that kind of puts you in an awkward position. You have to decide what you want to do, or you somehow integrate the two. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I want to get back to this. If we are genetically influenced as to which side of our brain will be dominant, does that mean there's already a skeletal structure to our personalities based on that genetic predisposition?
Well, I think that's a reasonable conclusion. I've never said it quite that way, but yeah, I would say yes.
Interesting.
And then it's genetic dominance. There's a genetic dominance is a very common thing, and I can explain it, I think, very simply. If you're breeding flowers and you have a red flower, red parent, and you have a red and a white parent, and you breed those two, there are four outcomes, and it's the same with the brain. So with the flowers, you have either a red, the offspring are red, or the offspring are white, where the offspring are pink, which is a hybrid, that's a combination of the red and the white, or the offspring may have red and white petals, or a red center and white petals.
Interesting.
So that's dominance. That affects, that works throughout biology, and it's just a very simple mechanism that takes a dualistic world like this, where everything is, where there are these two options, and it kind of expands that, gives you more than two options from the two.
Interesting.
So if we have right brain, we've got left brain. Do we have an agreed understanding among scientists, those that study this, yourself, that there are certain characteristics that exist if you're left-brained versus other characteristics that exist if you're right-brained? Are those things established and somewhat static?
Well, yes and no. I would say yes, because there's been a tremendous amount of research done over the years. The no comes from the fact that a preponderance of scientists probably think this is not the case. This is a very interesting story. This subject was very popular back in the 80s and 90s, and that's the time when there was a Nobel Prize given for this discovery about the left brain and the right brain, and people were very interested in this. But science is a very slow process, and the brain is very complex. So between the two things, scientists were not able to give the public enough information to make good decisions. There was no agreement back then, even though there's always disagreement, but there was a lot of disagreement back then. So scientists eventually gave up on this subject, and the public went on to other interests. And I tried to when I started out doing this, I didn't know that they had this kind of, they had discredited this subject, so I started working, but to understand it. I mean, it's not a very attractive subject, because a lot of scientists don't want to hear what I have to say. But the truth is, there's been a lot of research, and there's a very reason, in quite a bit of research, and enough. If you look in the right places, that it all comes together, like a jigsaw puzzle, and if you put the right pieces together, you see that it forms this very integrated, harmonious division of the left and the right, and they complement one another, and you can kind of tell that this is what's true, in the same way that when you're working with a jigsaw puzzle, if you get all of the cross words, if you have every one of those, it automatically fills in some of the vertical words, and it also gives you...
Ooh.
Yep.
Did we suddenly lose? And this isn't, we're not even talking about UFOs in the government, so I don't understand
that. Time it
all right, let's do this. Let's take a break. We will try to get James back on the line. Not sure what happened there, but we've got a lot more to talk about. As James continues to talk about right brain, left brain, he'll talk about sexuality, he'll talk about gender, he will talk about artistic abilities. There's a whole bunch of things that this right brain versus left brain discussion touches on, and then we get into the whole brain thinking, which could change everything.
And you listen to Jason JV, Beyond Reality Radio. We'll be back after this.
You know, when you listen to this program, you hear many interesting guests who discuss many interesting topics. Most of those guests have books, movies, or other work that support their ideas. And we've made it very easy for you to find that work. Just go to amazon.com/shop/JVJTaps. Not only will you find the books and other work of our guests, but you'll help support this program at the same time. Again, it's amazon.com/shop/JVJTaps. You'll also see links in the description of this episode that you can click on. We can only scratch the surface of many of these topics, and the real knowledge is what you'll find in the pages or frames of our guests' efforts. So click the link and browse, and hey, thanks for listening. Beautiful weather here in Cooperstown. 2 days in a row where we actually had beautiful weather. That doesn't happen very often.
No, I mean, it was beautiful here today, and tomorrow's 85, and then Saturday is 90, so
yeah,
it's going to be warm.
I feel like one of the boys of summer right now. Welcome back to the program. It's Beyond Reality Radio with Jason and JV. Our guest is James Olson. Apparently, we didn't lose him, but there was a little bit of an interruption there. So sorry about that, James, but thanks for hanging on through that. We only have a couple minutes here before we only have a couple minutes here before we have to go into our top of the hour break. But I want to get back to this right brain, left brain, and the idea that some of these traits and personality characteristics are pretty well fixed. And when somebody talks about, you know, one side of your brain is the logical side, another side of the brain is the artistic side. Are those just urban legends? Or are those actual characteristics that one side versus the other side of our brain carry?
Well, like anything, there's some truth to it, but those are some of the characteristics that cause scientists to pull out their hair and give up study of it, because both sides of the brain are creative, although the right side is more creative. It may be quite a bit more creative, but the left side contributes to that creation. So that's why that upsets scientists when we use that example for that particular characteristic, for example. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. And I also want to get back to something that you said earlier that, you know, whether we're right-brained or left-brained kind of determines, and this, I don't want to get into politics here per se, but it's an interesting conversation. It kind of determines whether you're conservative or liberal or one side of the political spectrum or the other. I was always under the impression, and I'm not going to tell you what my personal political beliefs are, but I will tell you that my kids share them. Because I've assumed I taught them to believe in those things. Is that not the case? Are we predetermined by which side of the brain is dominant?
Well, you can certainly be taught ideas. Again, there's a mixture of both. There's a mixture of culture and a mixture of the brain, and culture can actually be so strong as to the culture can dominate your innate natural beliefs, and that may happen, but there's just no telling. You know, for example, in your family, and then also there's a variable nature to this. When we talk about one side of the brain being more conservative, there's an extreme conservative, and then there's a slight conservative. So if you're slightly conservative and you live in a liberal family, you're more easily channeled into liberal ways of thinking than you are, for example, if you have a very strong sense, innate brain-driven sense of being conservative.
Well, yeah, and I guess if you grow up in a household where most of the family has a belief system of one way, you tend to sway that way. So it makes it really tough to decipher if it's because you're left or right brain, or if it's just that you're following in your family's belief systems.
That's true. It does make it difficult, and that's why this is not more obvious. Because it is so complex.
All right, so
many forces.
Yeah, and we're just scratching we're scratching the surface here, James. Because when we come back from our top of the hour break, we're going to start talking about how your book, How Whole Brain Thinking Can Save the Future, explores and discusses the idea that if we can learn how to harness the power of both our right brain and our left brain, instead of allowing one to be dominant, we can actually achieve some pretty great things. I'm assuming that's the premise, and that's what we're going to be talking about after the top of the hour, right?
Sounds good.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. So again, our guest is James Olson. He's the author of How Whole Brain Thinking Can Save the Future. His website is thewholebrainpath.com. You're going to want to call in with your questions during the next hour at 844-687-7669. We will be taking those questions. Before we head to break, though, I just want a couple of reminders. If you go to the Beyond Reality Radio website, you will see the Beyond Reality Radio official coffee mug. This is it, the finest coffee drinking vessel you will find on the planet. It doesn't It doesn't matter if you're right-brained or left-brained. This particular coffee mug will make your coffee delicious.
Yeah, and like we say all the time, make sure you grab our mugs. So, anyways.
and also, if you want to stop by Scaricon.com, you'll check out that event. There's a lot of stuff happening at Scaricon this year, June 16th and 17th, Framingham, Massachusetts. If you're anywhere near the Boston area, you're going to want to check that out.
Hey, if you download the show from iTunes or anywhere, just do us a favor and rate it for us because it helps push it forward and makes it easier for people to find, and that's what it's all about. But we're going to take a quick break. The phone number, again, is 844-687-7669, toll-free at 844-687-7669. You're listening to Jason and JV on Beyond Reality Radio. We'll be back after this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to Beyond Reality Paranormal. I'm your host, JV Johnson. I'm going to ask that you support this program. The easiest way to do that, by the way, is if you're listening as a podcast, you just open up the description of the episode and you scroll down to the bottom. And at the bottom, there is a link that says support this podcast. If you click on that, you'll be taken to a page that gives you a couple of options for supporting the show. We greatly appreciate it. It helps us bring great programs to you every week, and we look forward to continuing to do that. And if you're enjoying the program on YouTube, there's another way you can support the show. Just go to the description. You'll see a link to a Patreon page. It's Johaw, J-O-H-A-W. And if you go to the Patreon page, you'll be able to pledge an amount to help support the show as well. Once again, thanks for your support. Thank you for listening. Please share it with your friends. So we're going to continue our conversation in just a few moments about right brain versus left brain versus whole brain, how it affects us and how we can be better if we learn to not let it affect us so much and take control of it, because that's the whole concept here. But here's something that's going to make you scratch your brain, make you scratch your head anyway. I don't know if you can get to your brain. Some people can.
No, I mean, you scratch hard enough.
Yeah, I suppose. You can work at it. Some people just have to stand up and they can scratch their brain. But a creature was shot at a ranch in Montana. And at this point, it's only been a few days, but scientists are having trouble figuring out exactly what this creature is. At first, they thought it was a wolf, but it's not a wolf. Its ears were too large, its legs and its body were too short, and the fur was uncharacteristic of a wolf. So then some people thought maybe this was a bear cub that was emaciated and just ill or something, and therefore looking strange. But those who are familiar with that type of creature are saying, no, that's not what this thing is. They don't know what it is until they get DNA back. Some people think it might be a dire wolf.
Really?
Which opens up a whole new discussion.
Yeah.
But the information manager for the Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Department says it was near a rancher's place. It was shot, and the game wardens went to investigate it, and they couldn't identify it, but they did have the whole animal, and they sent it to the lab in Bozeman, Montana, and they're waiting for DNA results to figure out exactly what this creature is.
Well, we air in Bozeman, Montana.
Yes,
so,
we do.
You know, hopefully somebody there can give us a call and let us know what's going on.
That would be pretty cool, actually. So we'll keep an eye on that. You know, there are pictures, and maybe Slick can put some up on our Facebook page to show people. But it looks kind of like a wolf, but it doesn't look like a wolf. So I'm not sure.
And you get some weird things. I mean, for last year, people were freaked out around my area because this animal was running all around and it looked all crazy. Well, it was a fox with mange.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. When they get mange, they look
exactly
different.
Yeah. And it was just it was weird looking animal, but it'd be interesting to find out what that is.
Yeah, and we will keep an eye on it. That story, and if we can get any answers for you, we will. So anyway, tonight our guest is James Olson. We'll bring him in just a moment. I want to remind you that tomorrow night is a best of program. Monday night, because it is Memorial Day, will be another Best Of program. Tuesday, we have Kayla Ambrose joining us. Topic is to be determined, so we'll let you know as we get closer for that. And then Wednesday, Lori McDonald, who is a clinical hypnotherapist and an abduction researcher, will be talking about those two topics, hypnosis and abduction.
It's going to be great shows all next week, so make sure you tune in and check them out.
So James Olson is our guest tonight. He's an author. His book is called How Whole Brain Thinking Can Save the Future. The website is thewholebrainpath.com. Again, James, thanks for being with us. We will be taking phone calls at 844-687-7669 if you want to weigh in on this discussion. So James, let's start talking about the possibilities of being able to kind of overcome what are genetic predispositions and maybe environmental and learned predispositions that force us or have conditioned us maybe to be relying on whether it's right or left brain, relying on one side versus the other of our brain, therefore not really utilizing and not understanding how the use of our entire brain can actually benefit us.
Well, there are two systems. The system that the left brain uses, I talk about the brain a lot in terms of its operating systems. There are different ways to look at the brain, but I look at the operating systems or management systems that manage the various processes, the various things that the brain does. And so by studying these systems, I see that there's a really a dualistic system and a holistic system, and in order to have whole brain thinking, we need to understand what these two systems are and use them we need to understand the tools we're working with. We need to understand the system that is feeding this information, and once we understand this system, it makes, then we have the choice of which side of the brain to use or not. It's we have this control over the brain through the mind by the choices we make. In this case, by which side of the brain we tend to listen to. So, for example, if you're a left brain guy, typical guy, and you want to be more whole brain thinking, what you need to do is to understand the system of the right brain, the holistic system. Understand that it shows you the big picture. Understand that it gathers information by drawing information to it instead of going out aggressively the way males typically do, and women can do the same thing too. If they're working from their right brain, we can reach out for the information we think we need. Otherwise, we can just sit there and listen to what our gentle, quiet right brain is trying to tell us. And so this is kind of a process of getting to know how the brain feeds us information. And once you understand this system and understand the two components, what the strengths and weaknesses of each side of the brain are, then it's a simple process when you have a difficult issue to deal with. For example, you know your left brain dominant, then you make a conscious effort to bring right brain ways of seeing things and right brain ways of doing things into your attempt to solve the problem or to understand it.
Now, in your book, you go into detail talking about, well, the differences between the left and the right brain and how the left brain bias is the root of a lot of the problems in society. Everything from centuries of war, violence, racism and things like that. So the right side of the brain is sort of the peaceful, the more connected part of the brain?
Yes, that's correct. It focuses on living things, whereas the left brain focuses on non-living things. And this is just typical of the way what the brain is doing is dividing up the world in two specialties. So one side looks at the bigger aspects of what we're looking at, which is the big picture, for example. The other side looks at the small. One looks at the elements. That's the left brain looks at the elements. The right brain looks at a relationship of elements, looks at all of the elements together. And the left side is our selfish side. It takes care of us. That's its job. It needs to be selfish. There's nothing wrong necessarily with being selfish. What is a problem is when you go to excess. There's always this problem with the excess. If you're extremely selfish and you just don't care about anything or anyone else, then of course that's a problem. But you need to be a little selfish. Otherwise, you're just your environment is going to run your life. It's going to pull you in whatever ways that the people around you are wanting. So there's always this yin and yang. They actually are yin and yang to each other, the two sides. One side takes care of security. The other side doesn't see a need for security. It sees a world of peace, for example. But you can't live in your right brain. You can't believe that there aren't dangers out there, so you have to use your left brain. So we all use both sides of the brain, but one side, again, will tend to dominate.
James.
Unless culture unless we've been educated otherwise. It's kind of a default, but you can override the default. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, James, at the risk of touching upon a third rail here of talk, how does this affect sexuality? Because I know you address that.
Well, I use sexuality as primarily as an example of how a really good example of the effect of right brain dominance, left brain dominance, hybrid operating system, or a team operating system. So, for example, if the left side is in control, the left side is our masculine side. Whether you're a woman or a man, you have a masculine side and a feminine side, and so one tends to dominate. So if you're a left brain dominant, typical male, then you have this masculine operating system. If you're a stereotypical female, like most females, the right brain feeds you the information, so it gives you a different perspective on the world, and the characteristics of the operating system of the right hemisphere tend to be characteristics that we associate with females. And again, the left side has characteristics that we tend to associate with males. And then there's these other two combination systems, and that's where gender fluidity comes from. When you have one of the combination systems, for example, a hybrid system, you have a combination of masculine and feminine operating systems, so you have a combination of masculine and feminine gender, and that can be very variable. It might be strongly feminine and moderately masculine, or it could be vice versa. You know, this broad spectrum of sexuality that can take place, and if you have the team system, then your right brain, the feminine side, is attracted to male bodies, and your masculine side is attracted to feminine bodies. So that makes you bisexual. So that's kind of four broad characteristics.
Right. Right.
The masculine, feminine, bisexual, which is both, and then the hybrid, which is a single system that's an integration of both, like pink is to red and white.
You know, the main thing I've realized through this whole conversation is if women ran the world, it would be a peaceful place.
So we're going to get into that for sure when we come back from the break.
All right. So the phone number is 844-687-7669. And give us a shout if you got any questions on the subject tonight. You're listening to Jason and JV on Beyond Reality Radio. We'll be back after that.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to Beyond Reality Paranormal. I'm your host, JV Johnson. I'm going to ask that you support this program. The easiest way to do that, by the way, is if you're listening as a podcast, you just open up the description of the episode and you scroll down to the bottom. And at the bottom, there is a link that says support this podcast. If you click on that, you'll be taken to a page that gives you a couple of options for supporting the show. We greatly appreciate it. It helps us bring great programs to you every week, and we look forward to continuing to do that. And if you're enjoying the program on YouTube, there's another way you can support the show. Just go to the description. You'll see a link to a Patreon page. It's Johaw, J-O-H-A-W. And if you go to the Patreon page, you'll be able to pledge an amount to help support the show as well. Once again, thanks for your support. Thank you for listening. Please share it with your friends.
Guest tonight is James Olson. He's the author of a book called How Whole Brain Thinking Can Save the Future. We've only got a couple minutes here. We've got to jump back into break, but I think we have enough time to at least squeeze in one phone call. Let's go to Ed. He's calling in from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Hey, Ed, welcome to Beyond Reality Radio.
Thank you so much for taking my call. Your great show as usual.
Oh, thank you.
I wonder what your guest would feel, would think about. I think five of the last seven presidents, if I'm not mistaken, it's either four of the last six or five of the last seven presidents have been left-handed, including Obama. I think one of the Bushes, even Ross Perot, when Bush was running against Clinton, who was left-handed, Perot was left-handed, and Bush, 41, was left-handed. And the sitting presidents, many of them have been left-handed most recently. Oh, and a quick comment: I'm left-handed, I'm right-brained, and I am not attracted to male body.
Well, that's a great point, Ed. And I think if regardless of whether it's last four of the last six or five of the last, whatever the number is, there's certainly a disproportionate number of left-handed individuals that have occupied the White House or other things that would be, you know, whether they're scientists or whatever. What is with that, James? Is there something to that?
Well, first of all, there are two ways the dominance works. One is for information input, and one is for information output. And I don't normally get into this. It sounds a little complex, but the output is revealed by handedness. And there's been one of the reasons that left and right brain studies have been partially discredited is because there are so many people that are right-handed, including women. And if you're right-handed, that suggests that you are left brain dominant. And we know that most women aren't left brain dominant. Or are they? That's the question. And one of the factors has been confusing this is handedness. But handedness reflects the dominance of the brain as it outputs information. And the input and the output are subject to separate dominance. So you can be right brain for input and left brain for output, and so that confuses it all the more. And so I apologize if that sounds too confusing, but that needs to be cleared up because there is this confusion about women being right-handed. And but getting back to the presidents, that's very fascinating, and I didn't know that. But that, again, that reflects their output dominance and not their input. So the presidents, all the males might have been left brain dominant for the input, which is the way they see. That's their perspective. That's the way they see reality. But when they go to do things, they take that input, that left brain input, and they turn it into a right brain act. So we have all of these presidents that are left-handed. That suggests that they're feminine. Yeah. for output.
Gotcha.
So okay. that's other than that, I can't really comment on what, you know, that's just very interesting that it worked out that way.
Tonight we're talking with James Olson about his book. It's called How Whole Brain Thinking Can Save the Future. The website is thewholebrainpath.com. And James, we're going to take another call here in just a moment. But before we do that, this might be a tough question to answer, but help paint the picture for us as to what the world would look like if we could all grasp this concept and lose the divisions between right and left brain and use our whole brain and achieve that whole brain thinking.
Well, we would lose most of the, or many of the divisions that separate us, because we, you know, conservatives see liberals as the enemy and vice versa. And so we don't trust each other. We don't work with each other. You can see it in our government, which is becoming increasingly polarized because the electorate is becoming increasingly polarized. And it's reflected in our government, in the inability to work together. Meanwhile, in China, which is more united, both in terms of respect for right and left brain ways of doing things, and because they live in sort of a dictatorial society, which also is a unifying factor.
Well, I was going to say you get killed if you dissent in China in a lot of cases too. So that might have a little bit to do with it too.
Yeah, exactly right. So anyway, it's obviously better to use both sides of the brain, to use the strengths, the full spectrum of the attributes that the brain is trying to make available to us. So it would be a more peaceful world. I haven't spoken about peace, but when you don't see the other person as the enemy, it's a more peaceful feeling in your own interior. And then there's also this internal division where the left brain's telling you one thing and the right brain's telling you another, and it's frustrating and you don't know what to do. And if you are able to integrate the two sides together, you get the two sides working together instead of competing or in contrast or giving you opposing views. So it's a much more peaceful feeling to have whole brain thinking, both within yourself and within any cultures that are more whole brain in their thinking.
All right, let's go to our phone lines. We've got John calling in from Florida. Hey, John, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me again. I was wondering, with ADD, ADHD, OCD, and all those mental so-called disorders, is that mostly a left brain, right brain type of thing going on?
That's a great question, John. Is there any right brain or left brain component to any of those disorders, James?
Yes, there are, and that's not my specialty, and I'm not the best person to ask on this, but that is true, and most of them, from what I know, and I'm kind of getting out of my area here, but I think they're more tend to be left brain disorders, principally because the left brain wants to be in control. And if there is some sort of disorder, and the left brain is lacking the context, because when you think about these issues that you brought up, one of the fundamental problems here is an inability to relate to the context of the family, of law enforcement, of all aspects of life. And so that does tend to be I would say the left brain is primarily responsible for most of the problems in that respect.
Thanks. Well,
that could always explain why more boys are diagnosed with ADHD than females as well, correct?
Yes. Yes, it would.
John, thanks for the call. It was a great question. Back to this discussion about peace and not viewing your, to lack of a better word, adversary as an enemy if we are all whole brain thinking. I mean, by the very nature of all of us, if we could achieve this and think using whole brain techniques, that doesn't necessarily resolve differences. And it doesn't necessarily, you know, in case of in the idea of wars, it doesn't change the fact that there are more resources on this side of the fence versus our side of the fence. And I want those resources. I mean, those things don't go away. So what does it actually do? Does it make us more agreeable to solve problems together, or I'm not sure how it accomplishes the peace component here.
Yeah, yes, it is. It does make us more agreeable with each other. It gives more opportunities and more options to us, and we can start see the way we are now. We tend to assume that the other side just doesn't get it. They just don't understand. Whichever side you're on, the other side are the problem. And the problem is that they don't understand how things are. And so once you get rid of that attitude and you understand that there might be something in the other person, that the other person is seeing that you don't, then you can start trying to find out what that is. And also, when you get too polarized and you try to reach over to the other side, the extremists in your camp see you as an enemy. They think you're dealing with the enemy, and so you must be a threat. You're a threat. You might be then seen as an enemy if they're, even though you're actually on the same side as the person who sees you as an enemy. So it solves a lot of problems when you understand that the two sides can complement one another, that they can find ways to work together. Then you know to look for an answer. If you think that there is no opportunity to solve a problem, then you don't really try.
Well, but
so,
why?
But it makes peace more difficult to achieve.
But why? And I totally understand with what you're saying. You know, one side sees the other as pretty much an enemy and so forth. But why does it seem so much more amplified over the last 10, 15 years where 10, 15 years ago, different people with different views and beliefs, left, right, it's like they could communicate and still understand each other, that each person has different views. But now it's just, it seems pure hatred if you're different than somebody else in your thought system.
I see this as part of the natural outworking of things where it's like a pendulum. It swings one way and then it swings another. And our culture has always done this, swung from conservatives to liberals and back and forth. No one ever solves the problem. So we always, when the conservatives can't solve the problems, we turn liberal. And then the liberals don't solve the problems and we turn back conservatives, and it kind of goes back and forth. And people are getting fed up with that, and they're getting angry, and they're seeing it doesn't work, and they're getting frustrated, and they're getting scared, and the fear just exacerbates this. And also, I think that there is this trend, long term, you know, centuries old trend towards being more polarized. The more polarized we get, the more in your face the differences become, and it's society, it's the spiritual world's way of waking us up to the extremities and to the dangers of the extremities, and to see how different left brain ways of doing things are from right brain ways of doing things. It's just really putting it in our face, and until we learn this, we'll keep going down this path. At some point, it'll get so bad, and it will reverse, and I don't know that we're there yet. I don't know where we are. I hope we're getting close to the point where the polarization reverses, but it may well get worse.
James,
this
might be a tough question to answer, but I think it's particularly insightful and particularly from our audience. But we had a caller who didn't want to go on the air that wanted to know if being right-brained or left-brained made any difference, and did it affect the types of dreams or maybe sensitivities that you have? And in our discussion, sensitivities would be like psychic sensitivities or mediumship or ESP, you know, one of these other sixth sense type sensitivities. Does being right or left brain have any effect on any of that you're aware of?
Well, yes, the right brain is the brain that sees unity, that shows us unity, and it's the connected, it's the side that's connected to the spirit world, and the left side is the side that takes care of us on earth and is selfish. So the right side is a side that cares about the collective good and the rights of others, and it's the side, it's energized by love, whereas the left side is energized by fear, which is a protective mechanism. So yes, the spiritual movement is basically a right brain movement in most of these aspects that the caller talked about. These are right brain come through the right brain. The right brain information feeds into consciousness, and we are guided by that.
Now, James, you wrote another book called The Whole Brain Path to Peace, The Role of Left and Right Brain Dominance in the Polarization and Reunification of America. You wrote that a few years ago. Do you recommend, if somebody's interested in pursuing either of these books, that they start with one or the other, or can they start either way?
No, they need to. They can ignore the first book and just start it, just read the new one. You know, it has everything. I took all the good stuff out of there, and there's new information in the new book, How Whole Brain Thinking Can Save the Future. So just read that one.
And then when you recommend that people read that particular book, and we've been talking about it all night, what do you hope a reader will walk away from when they close the book after reading the last page? What do you hope they've accomplished other than finishing it?
Well, I hope they achieve a sense of peace. I hope they understand that there are two systems of consciousness, two systems feeding through the brain into consciousness. And so, essentially, there are two ideas coming into our head, but one may be dominant. Nevertheless, they can always gain access to the non-dominant side by simply asking it, by asking the right questions, by knowing that there is this other way of seeing and doing things, and trying to do their best to bring the opposing views into their ways of thinking, and that should bring them a lot of peace with others and within themselves.
We've given out the website a few times. Is there any other place that you would send people if they wanted to find a copy of the book?
Well, I don't have any particular recommendations. Support your local bookseller, but otherwise, since most people order it, just whatever you want to do. If you order it through my website, it goes to Amazon.
So it's available
I have
local.
One
local
comment on, I have a brand new website, and it's all done except for on the phone. There's at the very top on the right, there's the three little lines, and you can access, that's the only place to access my interviews and questions and answers that might be helpful.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming and hanging out with us, and we look forward to at some point talking to you again, having you back on the show.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure, and I really appreciate the opportunity.
Well, thank you, James. Have a great night now.
Again, the website is thewholebrainpath.com, and the name of the book is How Whole Brain Thinking Can Save the Future.
So make sure you check it out. All right, we're going to take a quick break, then come back and wrap things up. You're listening to Jason and JV on Beyond Reality Radio. We'll be back after this.
You know, when you listen to this program, you hear many interesting guests who discuss many interesting topics. Most of those guests have books, movies, or other work that support their ideas. And we've made it very easy for you to find that work. Just go to amazon.com/shop/JVJTaps. Not only will you find the books and other work of our guests, but you'll help support this program at the same time. Again, it's amazon.com/shop/JVJTaps. You'll also see links in the description of this episode that you can click on. We can only scratch the surface of many of these topics, and the real knowledge is what you'll find in the pages or frames of our guests' efforts. So click the link and browse, and hey, thanks for listening.
Are you tired of the costly charges of embalming a loved one?
Does the hassle of meeting with the mortician interfere with your play on the back nine?
Have you ever thought there's got to be a cheaper way?
Crap Poker's Pulse!
Save money and do it on your own time with the Crapco Home Embalming Kit.
The Crapco Home Embalming Kit.
The Crapco Home Embalming Kit consists of all the key instruments needed to start embalming at home today. The hydro aspirator.
Nasal aspirator.
Cavity chemical injector.
Operating scissors.
Super drain tube.
Suture needle set.
And more.
The Crapco Home Embalming Kit.
Don't let Aunt Ethel's passing make you pass up a trip to the mall.
Why let Uncle Dave's stroke interfere with your backstroke?
Use the Crapco Home Embalming Kit to start a small business for the wife. And what better way to show that lover you care than to embalm them yourself with the Crapco Home Embalming Kit?
Our goal at Crapco is to save you money.
The Crapco Home Embalming Kit.
It may not be right.
It may not be ethical.
Hell, it may not even be legal. But with the Crapco Home Embalming Kit,
you'll save on the way to the grave.
Crapco, helping out the living so you can afford to die.
Crapco highly recommends that you clean all home embalming kit tools before using them for cooking.
Crapco presents.
Ever wish your wishes could come true? Well, now they can with the Wish It HD.
Crapco's Wish It HD.
I was in the ER and had my eye on this hot nurse in scrubs. Glad I had my Wish It HD along for the ride.
Hey there, big boy. Time for a sponge bath.
Now I'm getting scrubbed. Thank you, Wish It HD.
Crapco's Wish It HD.
The Wish It HD uses the latest in new technology to harness the power of the ethereal planes and grant your wish, not just in normal D, but in the latest high-quality HD.
I needed money and fast, so I just used my Wish It HD.
Here's your 337 and change. Thanks for eating the Burger Town.
Thank you, Wish It HD.
Crapco's Wish It HD.
The Crapco Wish It HD. Guaranteed to grant your wish in stunning HD.
Another amazing product by Crapco.
The Crapco Wish It HD is not guaranteed to grant any wish.
Well, thank you to James Olson for joining us on the program. It's a topic that could probably use another couple hours of explanation because it's pretty complicated, but check out his books, check out his website. It's all good stuff.
And thank you to Crapco. Great sponsors, great products, just great wonderful company, always coming up with just cutting edge stuff. So that's going to pretty much do it for us, and we'll catch you all next week. It's Jason and JV, Beyond Reality Radio. We'll talk to you soon.
Beyond Reality Paranormal is hosted by J.V. Johnson and produced by Orion Palmer and Slick Eddie Edwards. Like us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Please consider supporting the program either through your podcast platform, click on the link in the description, or on Patreon at Joha Productions. If you'd like to be a guest on Beyond Reality Paranormal or you have a recommendation for a guest, contact our producer, Slick Eddie Edwards. Eddie is spelled with a Y at slickeddieedwards@gmail.com.